It is great to see you, church. I'm so thankful to be here today, and I'm so thankful that you are here today. I know it's been mentioned already, but if you are visiting with us, please know you are special to us. We appreciate you so much. We're so thankful to always have visitors here. We're also thankful when those visitors decide that they want to be members here, and so that's always a blessing. I do want to say as we get started this morning that I want to send some congratulations out and solicit your prayers to my friend Trey Rester. Trey is now down. He was up just a moment ago. But Trey graduated from Police Academy, and that's a big accomplishment. But also, as you could imagine, to mamas and daddies and grandparents and brothers and sisters and family members and all alike, that is certainly some nervous times, and so please be praying for him, praying for all of those he graduated with, all of our police officers, and of course continue to remember our military, first responders, those, but y'all congratulate Trey when you see him. There he comes. Trey, sorry I just put a lot of focus on you, brother, but congratulations, man. So y'all give him a hug and tell him you're praying for him. Also, you know, sometimes when we do things, and I'm not trying to read into anything Justin said, but this was kind of a blurb in his announcements this morning. And sometimes when you do your own work, it's hard to say something really about it. But guys, this is awesome. What I'm holding is that family devotional that Justin has. There will be a time this year, we'll spend a month talking, at least a month, talking about family and focus on family. Justin, I don't know how many of these you made. How many copies you think? 65. There shouldn't be any left. I'm just telling you right now. If you're doing a family devotional, that's fine. But this is not just for those with children. I've read every word of it. This goes right along with what we're talking about all month long. And let me tell you, this is something that everybody needs to be doing. If you want to love the Lord your God, what we're going to talk about this morning with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you got to be in His Word every day. And mamas and daddies, Justin has husbands and wives, single folks, whoever it may be. Justin has spent a lot of good thought on this. It's very well thought out, but simplistic at the same time. Pick this up today. Study it. Practice it each and every day of the week. Justin, thank you for taking time to do this. He called it family-focused devotionals, and we're going to focus on the family, but that's probably copyrighted. We'll do that, but this goes with love. And so spend time talking about that. Now, listen, what I would also like you to do is come back and say, hey, Justin, man, that's really been special for our family. This is how feedback always helps, and it lets us know, hey, you're getting it. Guys, we want to be as close to God as we've ever been. I mean, that's what Azalea City Church of Christ needs to be. Every member of this church needs to be as close to God as we can possibly be. That's why our theme is focused this year. And so you know what we're going to do this week, this month, I should say? We're going back to the basic. We talked in January about what caused us to get out of focus, and that's sin. We started with Adam and Eve in the very beginning in Genesis 3. But this week, this month, I keep saying this week, this month, we're going to talk about what is in the air, and that's love. Man, love's in the air. I can feel it, can't you? But the bottom line is, when we get back to the basics and back to our focus on where it needs to be, it starts with love. In fact, we're going to talk today about that lawyer who encountered Jesus Christ. In fact, I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 12. We're going to talk about Mark's account. We're going to talk about Matthew's account. But I pulled Mark's account out because of the way he differs a couple things from Matthew's account here. In Mark chapter 12, let's look at verses 28 through 34. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he is Jesus there, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Boy, that seems like a great question. Some versions may say foremost. Of course, Matthew says greatest. What is the first or foremost commandment of all? Now, while you're thinking about that, I want you to think about this. There were 617 total commandments. Somebody, if you take from the Ten Commandments are first given all the way through really the Pentateuch, you will come up with 617, some say 613, because a couple are very similar or what have you. But the bottom line is, off of those Ten Commandments came 617 commandments. And that's why when you go through Deuteronomy and you go through Leviticus and even in Numbers some, you will start seeing all these bizarre laws, all these bizarre commandments that were broken at one time or another, or they wouldn't have been commandments. They wouldn't have had to have been laws, if you will. But the what it also boils down to is these guys knew that law. And they're trying to frame Jesus. So he asked him, what's the greatest of them all? And Jesus, of course, is going to go on with the answer and say, the first or foremost of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We sang that earlier, didn't we? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. I want you to think about something. Just like that little picture shows us, sometimes we can be so close, yet be so far away. You ever thought about that? That person that maybe plays the lottery and misses it by one digit. Think about that. Not that we're condoning any of that. But think about it. They were so close to being rich overnight, but missed it by one digit. So close, but so far. Think about the person that almost has the big winnings, or has the big paycheck, or has the big promotion. They were so close, but really they were yet so far. This lawyer comes to Jesus trying to catch him for being a fraud. But in the end, Jesus starts changing his mindset. He starts changing his attitude. He starts changing his focus. And through it all, he says, wow! Man, what you said is so right. He said, you love God more than everything. You look out for one another. He said, you put those two together. He said, that's more than all the sacrifices and burnt offerings a person could offer. Jesus, knowing the heart. You see, while Jesus was alive on earth, He had the ability to look at man's heart and forgive sins. No other person on the planet has that ability, but Jesus did. That's why He could say to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with Me in paradise. He could look on it right then and tell He made a change. He didn't have to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of His sins. But the bottom line is, going back to this guy, Jesus starts seeing this change. And you know what He said? He said, hey, you're this close. You're this close to being a part of the kingdom. But why didn't he? Now again, I don't know what happened later. But let's suppose this is all we know about him and he never does. You know why he would not have ever fully been obedient? Because if he, by hanging out with the Pharisees and Sadducees, if he would have been obedient to Jesus Christ, They would have kicked him out of the temple. They would have probably stoned him. They would have made sure that his family was ruined, his livelihood was ruined, and his life was gone. That's what they'd have done. So it's kind of like that rich young ruler. Maybe he went away sorrowful. Kind of like King Agrippa, he almost was persuaded. He was so close, yet he was so far. And that gets me concerned with us today. There are a lot of us in this room that are very, very close. You think about it. Now, I'm not judging us. Let me say this. When facts reveal things to be true, it's not a judgment. We can look at some maybe who are here a couple times a month, right? Now again, there could be a lot of things that affect that, but let's just say I'm only here a couple times a month because I know I need to be here, but at the same time, you know, I just really got a lot going on. Well, that's being so close, yet so far. Okay? Sunday school attendance, I think, goes a long way with that. You know, when our elders decided, hey, we're going away from Sunday night, they didn't mean for us to shorten things. They didn't mean for us to take God out of things. They didn't mean to say, hey, it doesn't matter anymore. No, they went longer with our Sunday school classes. We've gone longer with our worship. And listen, I understand that some of y'all got to get up and go when I extend the invitation. I understand that. But we spent more time on the, we just have what time we start, what not to, what time we don't have what time we end on there. Right? But I'm not gonna, listen, I know it doesn't have to be eternal to be effective, but the point is, we didn't lessen anything, we added to Sunday morning when we're all together, but you know what some of us decide? Hey, well, that Sunday school's not important. We're so close. Yet we're so far. Wednesday nights, still have them. I understand people work, but more importantly than that, I don't have to understand. God understands. God understands what's going on, but guess what? 250, 260 maybe this morning? 130 on Wednesday night. Think about that. So close, yet so far. You want to take it another step Sunday afternoon for the Master. Youth group stuff. Wow, Terry's really starting to step now. I'm just trying to say, where's our focus? Do we love Him that much? You see, what comes down to is this. We got to get rid of the distractions. Mark 12, verse 30 is all about focus. Listen to it again. You shall love the Lord your God with some, with most, or with all. You got to answer that question. Do I love Him with some? Do I love Him with most? Or do I love Him with all? All my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and with all my strength. Do I love God that much? Somebody said yes and amen to that. And that was a child, and I bet they do. We got to love God as adults that much. Do I love Him that much? Let me tell you something. God's love. I didn't know what else to write on there. I just said, wow. I wrote that same thing in my notes. And FYI, I don't have any notes this morning because my PowerPoint went out again. So I'm going from the heart. So bear with me. Technology is great when it works. But that's what I have under that tile. That slide is the same thing that's on there. Because I don't need to write a lot of notes to know how much God loves me. Do you? How about in Romans, right? How about in Romans when Paul said, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates, manifests, makes known His love toward us in that while we were still awful sinners," awful is my emphasis, "Christ died for us." It is no accident that Johnny and I didn't talk I understand it's the love month, but He was all about love. That's not an accident. That's what God wants us to hear. Justin Vivo, again, I know it's February. It's about God's love. That's not an accident, guys. God wants us to understand His love. He wants us to understand how much He loved us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Greater love, Jesus Christ said, has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And we end it right there. But then he goes on to say, and this is a beautiful part about that. He said, you are my friends if you do as I command. Man, that's beautiful. You see back in Romans 5, and what Jesus said is this. There, if I were to say, hey, stand in line if you're going to die for me today. That's me, specifically Terry Cagle. That line would be pretty short. Listen, I know you love me, but I get it. We're not going to have a lot of volunteers to do that. And I just be honest as I can be, and I try to be honest all the time. I feel like I'm a pretty good guy. But my line's going to be very short. I would guess yours would be too. But what about a rapist or a child molester? Or a murderer, or a gossiper, or a luster, or a drunkard. Fill in the sin, fill in the blank. How many of us are going to stand in line for that person, a murderer? If we got one or two in our line, he's not going to have any. She's not going to have any. But Jesus Christ died for all. That's how much He loves us. You see, I could talk for hours upon God's love for us. And all we would say at the end of it is, wow. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Right? I stand amazed in the presence of Jehovah Yahweh God. I stand amazed at His love. But my question today then is this. How much do we love Him? His love for us, there is no question. But our love for Him, maybe there's a few questions out there. But see, I can't answer it for you. I can only answer it for me. But what I want you to spend the time doing today is asking yourself this. Do I love Him that much? I want you to check these verses out. I've got to read them off the screen because I can't see that one. Psalm 42:1. It tells us, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you. Do you love Jesus Christ that much? Do you love God that much? Have you ever been thirsty? Boy, I have. Now, I've never gone days without drinking, but man, football practices, when we used to do two-a-day practices and the linemen would go to the chutes and man, I'd have just dried grass and phlegm and everything else. And our coach, this was a day and time, and again, I played in a modern time, okay? Now, I had face masks on my helmets, okay, guys? And they weren't leather. Maybe some of y'all, that was the case, not trying to date your age. But the point of it is, our coach, and I love him dearly to this day, but he'd give us one water break. And he had one jug of water, and it had a switch on it, you know, a handle. And so you'd get under it, and he'd turn it on. And a lot of people just take a sip, and they get going. Not me. I learned to drink, guzzle it while it was coming in. To this day, I could guzzle because I got good at it, because that was the only break we got. I was thirsty. I couldn't wait for water break. What about Sundays? Are we so tapped out spiritually that we can't wait for Sunday to get here? Are we so tapped out by the penetration of the world and sin into our lives that Wednesday night, I can't wait to get a drink of that living water? Do you thirst for God that much? If the answer is no, then I need to change that today. What about this one? Psalm 84:2 declares, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." Do you love God that much? Boy, isn't that a beautiful song? Psalms, a lot of them written by David while he's out in the field somewhere, just thinking about God, man. How beautiful is that? Do you and I faint spiritually over the idea of being in the presence of God? Do we long for Him that much? Psalm 143:6, "I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." Do we want that living water? In Isaiah 26:9, "My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you." When I think about loving the Lord my God with all my heart, just that portion of it right now, that's where I've got to be. Now, I don't know that any of us are fully there. I'm not fully there. You're not fully there. We're all striving to get there. But are we on the road? Does it matter to us? We're going to do what matters to us. We are going to do what matters to us. That's why credit card debt is high. That's why our children playing in every sporting event and dancing and doing all whatever else we can put in there. That's why we're not, it doesn't matter if I got headaches or I got backaches or I got stomach aches, I'm going to be there. Oh, Sunday's coming, I'll be sick. That's ridiculous. If it sounds ridiculous to you, what does it sound to God? Is my heart there? Do I long for it? We go on to say, I don't know. There it is. Let's look further. How do we get there? Look at the words of Psalm 143, verse 5. "I remember," of course I put emphasis in these, "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your words and consider what your hands have done." Now go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Remember, meditate, consider, thanksgiving. Those four words will preach a sermon. We need to remember God's love today. We need to remember. We need to not just remember, we need to meditate in it. That's why these should not be left over. Or something shouldn't be left over. I don't care if we have been Christians for 50, 60, 70 years. I should want to meditate in God's love every single day. Every day. I need to consider. You know, in this, it's beautiful. Justin, again, man, I didn't even have it. We had talked about you doing this, but I didn't remember it. And I did until I read it today. He's got in there, "Think about when you were baptized. And discuss that with your family." You know what you're doing when you're considering what God's done for you. That word testimony that got we allowed to get taken away from us. Tell your story to your family. Tell it to your neighbors. Tell it to people what God has done, the love He has shown you. And then, of course, close out with thanksgiving. God, I'm so thankful for your love. You see, that's what's going to take away our anxiousness. That's what's going to turn our anxiousness into peace. The war we have in life will start turning to peace. Whether it's still there or not, God will make... It's like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "God, take this cup from me. Let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, God, your will be done." God couldn't let the cup pass from him. But he gave him an angel to give him strength to get through it. The war may not end in, at work or at school or whatever, but He will give you peace that passes all understanding, but we got to give Him our heart. That's not all He said. Jesus goes on to say that we need to love the Lord our God with all our soul. All our soul. Now I want you to know something. I think we think the heart and we get it, but it's not just the heart. Now it's the soul. The way I think about it, this is the way it makes sense to me. It's the spirit on the inside of the body. My heart beats in it. Okay? May not be biologically correct, okay? But my heart beats in it, but I've got that soul that's making me do everything else, okay? It's giving me life. Yes, the heart beats and pumps blood, but I've got life in my body. I've got spirit in my body because I've got my soul and it's on fire for God, right? That's what it should be. That part of us has to love Him. Has to serve Him. The heart is the key, but it branches out to the soul. And with that, we have to make sure that He has all of our soul. What if in life somebody said, hey, I want to borrow $1,000, but I just want to pay part of it back? I mean, I think we all would want to be on the end of receiving that deal, right? But how many of us are going to give that $1,000 out? No, usually they say, hey, can I borrow this money? And I promise you, I'll pay you back. I'll even give you some interest on it. Christ went to Calvary. You know, it's that we said it here a lot. We even did a BBS on it. He doesn't love me this much. He doesn't love me this much. He doesn't love me this much. He loves me this much. Right? He went to Calvary because that's how much He loves us. But He didn't go for part of your soul. He went for the whole thing. Now, if you can picture your soul as a body, how much of it's on the hell side? And how much of it's on the heaven side? Okay? Spiritually, I got a foot in hell, but Terry, I got 3/4 of my body in heaven. That's not good enough. If you just got a toenail in hell, it's not good enough. He wants it all. And He deserves it all. So what am I going to do about it? I got to get my focus where it needs to be. But that's not all He said. He said, love Him with all your heart, with all your soul. And He also said, with all your strength. You see, when I love God with all my strength, my heart and soul together, that's pretty strong. That gives me the ability to get up and do. But my question to you today is this. If I'm not doing for the Lord, then what part's not His? If I'm not doing for the Lord, there's only one conclusion. There's a reason why I'm not. Okay? Well, Terry, I'm trying. Elders, I'm trying, but guess what? So-and-so is holding me back. Well, then I need to make it right with so-and-so. Or maybe it's because I've gone and got myself too involved with some other things. Well, I need to get rid of those other things. We're not talking about a game. We're not talking about just like Monopoly, okay? I have some people, my wife, will not ever play Monopoly with me again. I mean, it would cause us to go to marriage counseling. Because I want to win. But if I'm not, I played it one time with my brother and I wasn't going to win. But I made a deal with him. Hey, it's Monopoly, right? I said, hey, look, I'll go ahead and give you park place to go with your boardwalk as long as you don't ever charge me rent when you build a hotel on it. He said, okay. That ultimately ended the game. because Michelle didn't want. That was unfair, right? My point of it is, that's silly. When it comes to our hearts, our souls, and our strength, there is nothing silly about that. We can't make a deal with Him. And we can't end the game when it doesn't go our way. This isn't Monopoly. This isn't cards. This is our spiritual life. What are we doing about our strength? I've left one out, and I did it on purpose. Because that's what we're going to conclude with today. The last one is mind. And I want to talk to you just for a moment about that. You see, Jesus, if you go back to verse 30, He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." Now I want you to think about this for a moment. What He's doing is He is entered into their world with heart, soul, and strength. I'm going to explain that for a moment. You see, what's amazing about it is this. He's gone to their level. Now, Matthew again reminds us that the young man who's asking this question associates with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't care what Jesus said. They just wanted to catch Him in a fraud. And I think they've influenced this young man. And so now he's part of the game. I mean, you hang out with garbage enough, you become like garbage. And so he's got some stink on him right here. And so he's trying to catch Jesus' 617 commandments. Ha, ha, ha. Which one's he going to call number one? Maybe they're thinking, "Oh, well, you shall have no other gods before me." Jesus said that, but He didn't say that, didn't He? By the way, try to figure out which commandment's not included in those two that He mentions here, okay? He summed them all up in two. But here's what He did. He went to Deuteronomy and He went to Leviticus. Now, we're going to talk more about love your neighbor as yourself next week. But He went to Deuteronomy and He went to Leviticus. Deuteronomy is where He said, "Love the Lord your God." Then Leviticus is where they pick up and it says, "Love your neighbor as yourself," okay? Here's my point. That's not Exodus where the Ten Commandments are. He went obscure, if you will, and took what may have seemed like two minute ones. Now, Deuteronomy, it was really big. But that he took these out and he rolled it all into one. But right now, in this discussion, when he talks about heart, soul, and strength, he is talking about legalistic worship. But mine took it to a whole nother level. He said, "I want you to love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your strength, but it takes your mindset. It takes your focus. You can't let others distract you." And He's speaking to this young man now in all these words. He said, "You can't let others influence you. You can't let your husband, your wife, your children, your job, your world, your neighbors, you fill in the blank, your employee, your school, you fill in the blank." He said, "You can't let them take your heart, mind, soul, and strength if your attitude and your focus is God." He said, "You can't, it won't happen." And you know what? He almost got him. He almost got him. The man who came to him to trick him. And that's why I love Mark's account. He gives us a little more insight to it. He said, "You know what? I can see it in you right now. You're real close to following me." If he didn't, it's because of what he feared. In Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 19 through 20. Moses said it this way. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life. Today, what is holding you back? Well, I want my heart to be there. I want to give Him my soul. I want my strength to be His strength. My feet, His feet. My hands, His hands. I want it, Terry. But my mind is too weak. My attitude, my focus is not where it needs to be. Today, what will you choose? Will you choose life? Will you choose death? Will you choose blessings? Or will you choose curses? Today, choose love. Choose to love the Lord your God with every bit of being that you have. And do it right now together. We stand and sing.